All right. I'm going to call the audit committee meeting to order. I'm going to ask for roll call to be done before we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Member Brar? Member Villanova?
Here.
Member Gilbert?
Here.
Member Nerland?
Here.
Member Cedarbor?
Here.
Vice Chairman Quintero?
Here.
Chairman Maxey?
I am here. Let's rise, and I'm going to have Vice Chairman Quintero lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. First item is approving the agenda. So are there any modifications to the agenda from board members? We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Next item is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for individuals who wish to present or ask questions about items that are not listed on the agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to comment on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public presentation portion. We'll move on to the approval of the December 8th, 2023 Audit Committee meeting minutes. Any modifications, comments from staff needed for the minutes? Board members? Nothing? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on our minutes? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back to the board.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion, and we'll take Vice Chairman Quintero's second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries with no opposition. Moving on to the consent items, there is one, consent item 6A. Any comments from board members on the consent item? Hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on the consent item? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion, bring it back to the board for a motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second by Mr. Nerland. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Motion passes. Moving on to discussion and action items. Item 7A, review and approve the Department of Public Health Emergency Medical Services Authority, EMSA, report for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2023. Staff, the floor is yours.
Okay, so we perform procedures as provided by the Emergency Medical Services Authority. Our procedures included verifying that all costs were incurred, have been in accordance with the contract. We also verified that proper accounting records have been maintained for the administration of the multi-county emergency medical services agency, and source documents have been filed. Verifying all reimbursements have been proper and reflect actual and allowable costs. We also verified that a physical inventory was taken of all equipment or property purchased with state general fund money. And lastly, we verified that source documentation support costs incurred for the last 3 years have been retained. We had no exceptions on any of those areas, but we did have some comments, and we have the department here to address any comments that your board may have.
All right, thank you. Any comments from the health department before we bring it back up to the board? You're just here to answer questions if we need it. All right, board members, any questions of staff or to the department? All right, hearing none, anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? All right, hearing, seeing none, I'll close the public portion, entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion to second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Moving on to 7B, review and accept the 2022-23 County of Fresno Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. Staff, the floor is yours.
We have Paul Sahota from Brown Armstrong to discuss any questions you may have.
Paul, floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to present here today. First of all, I would like to thank the county financial reporting staff for their hard work and support in completing the fiscal year 23 audit. Next, I'll briefly explain our audit objectives, scope, and the procedures that we performed. Our objective was to report on the county's financial balance and internal controls over financial reporting for the fiscal year 23. And our scope of procedures included inquiries, confirmations, substantive testing, analytic procedures to the significant audit areas. During our audit planning, we determined the following significant audit areas based on our risk assessment. We considered cash and investments, receivables, revenues, capital assets, accounts payable, accrued liabilities, expenditures, long-term debt, pension liabilities, right-to-use assets, and the related leases associated with that, budget compliance. And in addition to that, we also performed testing related to fraud risk assessments. Some of the procedures that we performed for that was we tested purchase credit card testing. We did payroll OT approval testing, managerial journal entry testing that could have that could be subject to management override of controls. At the conclusion of our audit, after our procedures, and we issued two audit reports. The first report that we issued was the independent audit report, which is on page 1 of the ACFR and page 30 of the meeting material. We issued an unmodified clean opinion on this report. And the second report we are required to issue is the report on internal controls over financial reporting and compliance and other matters. This report is not part of the ACFR. It is issued with the single audit report, which will be issued at a later time. And then also this report will include any findings or any other matters that might come to our attention that, the discussion of management that we require should be presented to the board or to the audit committee. And lastly, I do have some required audit communication that we are required to communicate to the audit committee and then also the board. First is our responsibility is to plan and perform our audit to obtain a reasonable but not absolute assurance that the financial statements are free of material misstatement and are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles in the United States of America. We are also required to consider the county's internal control over financial reporting and compliance in order to determine our audit procedures for purpose of expressing our opinion on the financial statement under government auditing standards. In addition, the county, we are also required to communicate the new accounting standards that were implemented in the fiscal year. The county adopted Governmental Accounting Standard Board Statement Number 91, which relates to the conduit debt, GASB Statement Number 94, which relates to public-private and payment arrangements, GASB Statement Number 96, which relates to subscription-based IT arrangements, and GASB Statement 99, which is a cumulative clearance on previously issued GASB statements. This is also stated in Note 2S of the Notes to Basic Financial Statement in the ACFR. We're also required to communicate the sensitive accounting estimates for the financial statements. Management estimate of pension liability and related items, landfill closure and post-closure cost, self-insurance claims liabilities, right-to-use assets, and the related leases are some of the significant estimates that are used in the financial statements. We evaluate the key factors for these assumptions used to develop the estimates, and we determine that they are reasonable in relation to the overall financial statements. We also determine that the disclosures and are neutral, consistent, and clear. We did not propose any audit adjustments during our audit that were material to the audit. We did not have any disagreements with management during our audit. We did not consult with other accountants during our audit. Discussions with management during the audit process were not conditions for our retention. We encountered no significant audit difficulties during our audit. We did not detect any fraud or abuse issues related to the county's employee and management. With that, this concludes my presentation. I am open to any questions you may have.
Board members, you have questions. Oh, I've got questions.
All right.
Maybe there'll be more questions that come up from board members. So on your summary report, page 4, the management's discussion and analysis, a couple of things. It says that looking at the financial highlights, the county's long-term liabilities increased by $786 million, roughly. Long-term liabilities totaled $2.296 billion, roughly, at June 30th, 2023. The question I have in regard to this, and I assume these are all in, I'm stating that correctly, even though it's shown in millions, it's actually billion, correct?
Correct. It's in thousands, yes.
Yes. So the looking at the liabilities, as I understand how the liabilities are constructed, you have a pension liability, which did increase, and I think that pension liability may stand somewhere around $1.2 billion. And then we also have pension obligation bonds that need to be paid off. I think the last one gets paid off in 2034. Is that also wrapped up into this $2.2 billion figure?
No, I believe that is just related to the actuary assumptions that are related to the GASB 68 and the pension liability associated with that.
So looking at it from pension liability, my understanding, because again, the Fresno County Employee Retirement Association is very conservative with its assumptions. Our discount rate over there is 6.5%, and we amortize our unfunded liability over a 15-year period with a 5-year smoothing. But last time I looked at that report, I think the unfunded liability only stood at about $1.1 or $1.2 billion, and I know Oscar's here. Oscar, correct me if I'm wrong. Are you going to a table that actually shows what that $2.2 billion is comprised of? What page is that on?
That's going to be on page 54.
Page 54. All right. Perfect. All right, so there it is. Balance June 30th, 2023, $2.296415 billion. So let's take a look at all this.
Yeah, so the $2.2 billion on the bottom is comprised of all of the net pension liabilities, and then also it includes like compensated absences that are considered to be a long-term debt. And then also with the new GASB 87 and the GASB 96, there's a requirement that the leases that are associated, like general leases, and then also leases that are associated with like IT-related assets that you lease from another company, that those be reported as long-term debt on the financial statement. So you'll see that there's new subscription obligations on here, which is also referring to note 10. And then also with the tenant improvement liabilities, that's also related to, you know, the leases. So those are some of the new changes that happened in the last 2 years.
So again, looking at this report, the net pension liability is the $1.138 billion. So that's what I was talking about. And then it shows bonds payable of $287 million. I assume that's pension obligation bonds? Or Oscar, what bonds are those? Carol, is those pension obligation bonds?
Yeah, they include pension obligation bonds, the tobacco and the lease revenue bonds, I believe.
And what is the $303 million, the accredited interest? What is that?
That's related to landfill closures. That is related to the bonds also. It's the accretion that happens on the additional funding that was done and is kind of invested to be paid to pay the bonds off at a later.
So the only bonds that we have out there right now that I'm aware of are the pension obligation bonds plus the tobacco tax, right?
Correct.
But the tobacco tax, the tobacco tax is not on this, right? Not factored in on this. This is just POB. So with the POB, as I understood it, we issued $600 million in pension obligation bonds over a couple of years, and then they were refinanced. So this takes into full consideration the initial issuance, the $600 million, and then the interest it's going to take to pay them off, all of them out to 2034, correct?
So there's also lease revenue bonds, I believe. Yeah, so there's the pension obligation bonds, the lease revenue bonds, and the tobacco tax bonds.
Right. I believe that's the JJC.
And the reason I'm kind of getting into the granular level here is when you look at the financial statement and it shows that our liabilities increased by $780 million, it's not a true it's a reflection of our financial statement when you look at it one way, but a lot of the obligations that we have are actually tied to most of our subventive programs that are out there. Some of the, like I know the Department of Social Services moved into a new building. Is a lot of that lease payments to that building wrapped up in part of this number?
So if I may clarify, so if you look at that note, you'll notice that the net pension liability in the beginning of the year was $432 million, which increased to $1.1 billion. And that's mainly due to actuarial assumptions and also the return on investments that they are getting based on.
Something big that happened was we reduced the discount rate. So, but it was done over several years. So in this report, we reduced it from 7% assumed rate of return to 6.5%. By doing that, it increases your unfunded liability immediately because you have lower assumed rate of return, so the actuary has to calculate, well, you need higher contributions to make up the difference, and your unfunded liability increases. So is that the biggest contributor then, this, of the $700 million year over year, was the fact that the FSERA board lowered the discount rate, and so the actuary said the unfunded liability had to grow to factor that in?
That is part of it. In addition to that, so all of the money that is in the retirement that gets invested into other financial companies, you'll notice that the market decreased. There was a big surplus prior year to where it resulted in the net pension liability in the future years to decrease significantly because of the return on the investments, to where that decreased significantly, so the pension liability went back up.
So you're looking at it from a year-over-year standpoint, but I know that the FSERA looks at it over a five-year period. So we have a smoothing period for gains and losses. But for purposes of our report here, we only do a one-year snapshot look?
Yes, it's as of that date, as of June 30th, 2023.
And Oscar, what I'm getting at is when you go to FSERA and you take a look over the course of the last 5 years, we've met the discount rate of return when you look at it from a smooth standpoint and not a year over year, because there's a lot of volatility when you look at it year over year.
So this number is for CASB 68, and the actuarial provides us that number, which is that our share, county share of the pension liability.
So that when you say the actuary for FSERA provides us this number?
It's okay. Called GASB 68. They do a GASB 68 calculation. We put it into our financials, and that's the extent of what we do with that. So we just take our share, county share, and put it on here.
So again, to sum things up, the $786 million county's long-term liabilities increased by $786. That was mainly driven by the decision of the FSERA board to decrease the discount rate from assumed rate of return from 7% to 6.5%.
In addition to market value. So
and market
they're,
value.
They're unrealized over there in FSERA. For us, it's really realized because we have to put it down as if it were realized.
Yeah, just to add on to that, in the GASB 68 report, there's two separate things that they look at. They look at their assets, and then they also look at the liability, which they determine based on key geographical factors such as people that are going to be retiring, how many people are participating, how much money is going to be needed for them in the future when they do retire, for how long they're going to retire. So all of that assumptions are taking key parts of determining the net pension liability in the future years. And that is kind of offset by how much return they expect to have from their investments.
But one of the big things, though, that you have to remember is that the actuarial also gives the county, Paul's office, the rates. And we, the county, pay the rates as we go each year. So each payroll gets deducted, and FISERA gets their money as far as employer and employee contributions based on the actuarial determined rates. So we're paying as we go, and FISERA does what they do. They do 15-year smoothing on things as far as paying some debt off, and they do the 5-year like you were talking about. But as far as we're concerned, we budget, or Paul budgets, based on the rates that get provided to his office every year.
Excellent. I appreciate the lesson. And then don't go anywhere, Oscar. So
not going anywhere.
One of the things I have is looking at relevant financial policies. I think your office put together this spreadsheet where it talks about investments and the investment policy. Right now, the Treasury pool, we cannot cumulatively have in total weighted average investments that are over 3.5 years, stuff that we invest in. I believe that's the policy. And I'll just read it. It said, the policy further restricts investments such that the average weighted maturity of the pool cannot exceed 3.5 years. My question is, we've had that policy. Is that policy something that's county-driven, or is it something that's driven by the state?
It is county-driven. We bring it to the board every year. And so we're currently at about a little over 2 years as far as weighted average maturity. But that is our policy here, and we take it to the board every year.
And that policy has been in place as long as you've been here, correct?
That's correct.
And so I want to say, when I ran for Board of Supervisors and lost, when I ran the first time and I was looking at the Treasury pool, this would have been, over 15 years ago, it was like maybe $1.7 billion. Today, I think, last time I checked, the Treasury pool is knocking on $7.5 billion. So the reason I make these comments in this connection is, would it make any sense for us to take a look and maybe extend, instead of having being limited to 3.5 years, that the pool cannot exceed maturities as a weighted average of 3.5 years, maybe extending that out to 5 years? Because I know, looking at a liquidity, from a liquidity standpoint, school districts, the county, and others, you never want to have investments that go out so far that you end up having to sell before some of those securities mature. In doing that, you might have to take losses. But now, because of just the overall size of the pool, would it make sense to give you more flexibility and maybe move that to, you know, extend it another year?
I think we already have that because we're, like I said, we're just over 2 years and it's 3.5 years. So we have some wiggle room in there already. And we base the investments based on cash flow needs. So if we need X amount in next year or this year, in the following year, we place those in, whatever we need. Hopefully it matures at that time. That's what we're putting down. So it's currently working as it is. So I don't think there's a need to extend it past that 3.5 years at this time.
And then finally, with some of the highlights that you were laying out in the report, you've got major initiatives, service efforts, and accomplishments. You talk about the current financial planning, and then you talk about long-term financial planning, and you allude to just the deficit that, you allude to the reserves that the state has, but knowing that the state has a deficit that they've said is at least $68 billion. Are there any concerns as we look forward into next year?
We're not hearing anything at this time as far as if they're going to withhold any of the school monies. They have in the past, I think back in 08, 09, but we're not hearing anything at this time if they're going to withhold that. What I mean by that is they would hold it for a few months and then pay us after that.
And I know that your office is pushing hard to make sure that different subventive departments that bring in, that have dollars that are both tied to the state as well as federal government, that departments spend those dollars first before they spend general fund dollars. Is that still a priority, and has your office been successful working with different departments to do that?
We're working in collaboration with the CAO's office. So it is a policy that I brought to the board that they do have to use restricted funds first. And what that means is if they provide services and those services are eligible for the restricted funds, those have to be used first prior to using discretionary revenue. So we are still in collaboration with the CAO's office working on that.
All right. And that's important because with the comprehensive annual financial report, but it's just called the AFRA now, right? Not comprehensive's left off. With that, the more discretionary money that we keep in the treasury pool, the more interest is gained that can be discretionary interest that can be reassigned to different departments to be used here at the county. So it benefits the AFRA moving forward. So I could keep going on with questions. I find this fascinating. But my board members, you have any other questions, comments about the report?
I've just got one. In the statistical section on page 103, it talks about the county's net position over the last 10 fiscal years. And Oscar, this is really a question for you. It's showing what our net position was and kind of what this says and what it doesn't say. And we've had some conversations recently as to what the statement actually means versus what it doesn't mean. Could you help explain that? Because I find this to be an interesting.
So if we can focus slide. On the unrestricted net position back in 2014, it was 180 million or so. And in that year, there was a GASB, that GASB 68 that we talked about that was due to be implemented in 2015. So prior to, we as governments didn't have to show that liability on our financials. 2015, all of a sudden, you see that big deficit number, 763 million. That is when we started having to use or put that pension liability, we as in governments, on our net statement of net position. And that's why those deficit numbers are there, because of the market, the volatility in the market that FSERA has, we have to put it down. But as you can see over the years and recently, they've been going down steadily, and then this year it's actually positive. So, I mean, I see it as a good thing that it's trending positive and we're absorbing that liability. And another thing to keep in mind, like was mentioned earlier, is that we do have a lot of subvented departments that are paying for some of this, for a lot of this, but we have to absorb the whole liability. We as the county have to absorb it, even though it's going to be paid by someone else.
So to Chairman Magsik's point on his questions earlier, if the FSERA board takes a conservative position and lowers the expected rate of return further, that and the market is also lower, that would potentially reflect on here too.
Correct. Year after year, that's FSERA is going to, the 68, the GASB 68 that we get from the actuarial, based on FSERA decisions, based on the market, we're going to have to put it down, whether it's positive or negative. It will impact our statement of net position. But once again, that's the government-wide statement, which is this statement here. But on the fund statements is where your office budgets, that's year after year. So it's on a year basis where the budget is done.
Okay, I do have a question. When we were in the Great Recession and we were struggling and laying off staff, it seems to me that was around when FSERA started making those changes. So our rates were not going to be as high, more affordable. So is that the advantage to what's the advantage to lowering it?
Well, the advantage is that what FSERA is saying in the past, they were saying we can get 7% on our return. We were not getting 7%. So it was not realistic to keep going at 7% because that's not where the market was. We lowered it to 6.5%, which means it's more attainable. We're still falling short on that. That's why the liabilities are on there. But realistically, 7% was not. I don't think that was why that was. It shouldn't have been done for that reason. It's just, can you attain that in the market, you being FSERA, for these investments? And 7% wasn't attainable. So that's why it was lowered to 6.5%.
And I think in 2008, the assumed rate of return was 8.25%.
Even so. A lot of entities were doing that really high. And sometimes when the getting's good, then that's attainable, but not over the long haul.
And just to add, GASB 68 does govern how this is calculated. So there are certain way they have to go about determining this rate. No, it is regulated. There are certain guidance that they have to follow.
All right. Anyone in the public? Oh, yes. Our attorney has a question.
I
Okay, you retract that question. Okay, then anyone in the public wishing to comment on this very interesting document? No one? Paige? I'm surprised. All right, I'm going to close the public portion, bring it back to the board for acceptance.
I'll make a motion to accept.
The motion, is there a second?
Thank you.
We have a motion to second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It is unanimous. See, Paul, that wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah, not at all.
All right. Let's see here. Moving on to item 7C, review and receive the 2022-2023 First Five Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Staff, the floor is yours.
I do just want to say I am a First Five commissioner, so I don't know if that matters.
Do you have a financial interest in First Five?
No.
So I leave it up to our county council.
I don't think that creates any kind of conflict on any action we would take here as the audit committee.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Make sure
this morning.
I'm Luis Maganis, the business manager at First Five Fresno County. I'm joined today by Alex Hillis, our business director, and Osvaldo Gutierrez, a representative of our audit firm, Price Page & Company. Before you is the First Five Fresno County audit report for fiscal year 2023. Osvaldo will present the audit, but first a quick background on First Five Fresno County. Over 20 years ago, the passage of California Proposition 10 created First Five California, which ultimately led to the creation of First Five Fresno County. Per the legislation, an audit is required to be completed on an annual basis and submitted to the State Controller's Office and First Five California. Additionally, per the Fresno County Ordinance, we are required to present the annual audit to the Board of Supervisors, hence why we are here today. Osvaldo will now provide the summary for the fiscal year 2023 audit.
Good morning, everyone. Chairman Maxig and the Audit Committee. Always a pleasure to present. I'll keep this brief because you already had a robust presentation prior to mine. quick summary. Audit manager, CPA from Price Page & Company. We're the external auditors for the First Five Commission. We have previously presented to the commission board, as was earlier stated. So we'll keep this at a super high level. You should have the financial statements in front of you, and I'm happy to answer any questions throughout or after the presentation. But in summary, as part of every audit, we do our due diligence to ensure that we understand the entity, review internal controls, assess the risks of error and fraud, ensure the internal controls are properly designed, because if those fall through the cracks, then a lot of other things could happen. And we also develop audit procedures to obtain enough evidence to give you an opinion on these financial statements. So quite a bit of work that we do every year, and it's always a process. So obviously we have to look at cash and investments, revenues, expenditures, capital assets, and as was previously mentioned by Paul and the team, GASB 96 is the newest pronouncement, and that has to deal with leases that are focused with IT-related factors. And of course, we also have to review the requirements as dictated by the First Five Audit Guide, which is from the state of California. We're pleased to report that there's a clean report, an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. We do perform the audit in accordance with the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the government auditing standards. The financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects. We always like to remind the board, because do we audit every single dollar, every single invoice? The answer is no, because that would be a forensic audit, and that would be a 100% review of everything. So we do have to take materiality into consideration and analytics, but at the same time, we do a pretty decent job to ensure that when we give an opinion, we actually sign the report, and we say we also buy off on these numbers as well. So there's a heavy weight to that signature. The significant accounting policies have been consistently applied. We believe the estimates are reasonable, and the disclosures in the financial statements, as a reminder, do have a lot of useful information to help explain the balances that you see on the balance sheet and income statement. The biggest difference compared to last year is the inclusion of that GASB 96 IT liability. It's called the Subscription-Based Information Technology Arrangement, SBITA. You're going to see that quite a bit with the other entities that you oversee. So there's a new balance that's within the non-current liabilities and a related lease expense and liability and asset associated with the receivable as well, because there's also a lease receivable. Other than that, the information is relatively comparable. There are changes year to year, but those we discuss more in theory in detail with the commission board. We issued a separate government auditing standards report over internal control and compliance. There were no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that were noted, and no instances of noncompliance identified, which is great because we do get exposure to other first fives that are being audited throughout the state, and sometimes they do have findings. So it's good that there are no findings here for the Fresno County First Five. We are required to talk about that GASB 96 was implemented this year, which, if you recall, there was other GASBs that were implemented this year as well, but the one that had the most significant impact is that one, specifically to the commission. There are significant estimates and disclosures related to depreciation, the lease receivable, and you'll love this, the right to use software arrangements and related software subscription liability. That is directly from GASB, and that is United States law. So that is what it's called, and that's how it is. Pretty much it's your lease liability, not yours, the commission's lease liability related to the IT assets. Why they name it that way, that is just how it is. We did not encounter any difficulties as we performed the audit. All the other adjustments we've went over with the commission, we had no disagreements with management. The significant risks were identified and communicated to that commission board, and we did not identify any fraud or illegal acts. And then lastly, we did not have any findings over the compliance report related to the first five audit guide, which is governed by the state of California. Other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and we have staff here with the First Five Commission to help answer any questions as well. But anything I can do to help explain the process or what we did?
Yes, Cedarburg, Commissioner.
I might get ahead of Chairman Magzig on this one, but and this may be a little bit out of your scope in terms of the audit, but with these new long-term liabilities that have to be recognized by the entity, with the county, we know looking at those that we've got cemented state funds coming down to pay for those. Mm-hmm. So there's a practical answer to why, although we get this huge increase in something, and sometimes it may be significant that we have to adjust for, it doesn't really relate to our revenue streams and that as to whether it represents as big of a problem. With First Five, as I understand it, their forecast for revenues has been going down over time. And so does that, and this might be more of a business question than an audit question, does that create more concern over the how the long-term liabilities actually relate to your revenue-generating ability over long-term time?
Right.
That should make some adjustment to our long-term liabilities and to reflect that.
And that's understandable. That's definitely an operational question. I can let the staff answer that, but note 14 does address that. We do acknowledge that there's an economic dependency on the cigarette tax, essentially, to help fund the first five. So yes, less people smoking means less revenue over time, and everyone is aware of it, so that helps dictate the long-range financial planning aspect of the commission, which it's required to do to help see where it's all going, what revenues are going to be coming in, and then what needs to be spent. So yes, it would be prudent to not take on any significant new debt and whatnot. But perhaps if you guys want to add anything, you're welcome to. But I can't, yeah, speak to the actual, what's the decision that's going to be made for the commission. That's, yeah, beyond our scope.
Yeah, so we are also aware that our revenue is always declining. That's why whenever we budget, we take our estimated revenue, and then our expenses, we always want them to be less than our estimated revenue. The state of California gives us an estimate of what our revenue is going to be each year, and then we take off a couple percentage points just to say, hey, in case it doesn't get to what they say it's going to get to, we still budget less our expenses. As far as the long-term liabilities, we don't have any long-term liabilities right now. All of our liabilities, while they are a lot, are just expenses that like bills that our partners send us over, right? We work on a reimbursement basis, so that's what those revenue or liabilities are made up of.
Would your debt service, do you classify that as long-term liability?
Our debt service?
Yeah, you have debt service that's listed in your expenditures. I assume that that's for...
That's for the... Yeah. Yeah, I think that's related to GASB 96. Maybe Ozzie, you can help me out with that one.
So in summary, to help kind of answer your question, and it's very similar to GASB 68, there is a liability that is now needed to be added to the balance sheet, and that does represent the amount that is owed to help pay down or pay off that lease. But in the scheme of things, it's actually not as big of a number. It's only $37,000. So it's not a big, like, multi-million dollar, you know, new building that they're purchasing, because that was already taken care of. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
I have a question. So under revenues, it shows investment earnings of $367,000. So just curious, because I under expenditures, there have been years where there have been losses. Do we pay capital gains, or does First Five pay capital gains when they have their investment earnings? Because if you have earnings, just going from memory as a nonprofit, that aren't directly tied to your operation, so stock market gains, sometimes that triggers capital gains, taxes needing to be paid. So is that something that is paid, or somehow First Five is able to avoid those?
Yeah, so governmental entity still, so no tax needed to be paid. But nonprofits, yes, they file the 990s and they have to be obligated for those realized, unrealized gains and losses. So for here, it's purely revenue.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, and good. Even if it's a loss, it's an expenditure in that year in a way. So yeah, it's all driven by the cash balance, and that's the driver.
Yep. All right, excellent.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Anyone in the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. Entertain a motion from the board.
Motion.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. It passes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Moving on to item 8, staff updates. Staff, do you have updates? No updates at this time?
No updates, yeah.
All right. Any updates from board members? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.